Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists. Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
You are listening to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show, and I am Rahasia Uncensored, where we look at the world not as it is, but as we know it can be, if and only if we have the courage to question the answers we've been given. This is our world, and it's time for us to take it back. All right, here we go once again. I am Rahasia, Rahasia Uncensored, on the Spiritual Activist podcast, which is on bbsradio.com. And I think today, I tell you, I'm getting so tired of talking about coronavirus, it's sort of making my head ache to even think about it. But there are some things about this that links in with other things that I think maybe is important to talk about. And it's not really the coronavirus directly. It's what underlies all of the reality that we sort of decode. And what I'd like to talk about is simply this. And it's not simple either, by the way, by any stretch of the imagination. This is information. And you say, okay, well, what's the big deal about information? I can read a book and get information. No, really good information can make a really big difference on how you see reality. I mean, I guess a good example is if you're dreaming at night and you're totally engrossed in your dream, and that because that's how your mind is decoding that resonant field that you're in. You're totally identified. And in that identification, you become unconscious to your higher self, your higher consciousness. Now, if I could come into your dream and say, just for a moment, say, hey, you're asleep. You have another body, another level of consciousness that you can awake to. Now, that might not wake you up, but it changes everything. Once you realize that you're asleep, it becomes a lucid dream. Now you start having a little more control over your reality. And this is where we are today. A little bit of information might not wake you up and illuminate you, but it might bring you to the point to where you realize that you're in a dream. Now, you might ask, okay, how is this all that important? Well, okay, let's start at the beginning. It really looks like, based upon hard science, that this is a holographic projection of consciousness. Now, that projection of consciousness, of which we inhabit with our identity, our individual perception into that realm, we decode that holographic universe that we inhabit according to our own decoding. And our own decoding is all primarily set up with our beliefs, what we think is, what we think is true, possible, not possible. This is the reason beliefs can become really, really limiting. Now, hang with me here, because this is going to get into something a little out there, a little shocking for some people maybe, but I think it's really worth paying attention to right now, because here's the deal. Say with the coronavirus, the COVID-19. All right, when this first started out, people asked me, what do you think we should do, Ross? How do you think this is real? And I actually wrote an article in our magazine that just came out, the Lotus Guide, and basically telling everyone to let's err on the side of caution, even though, and we have to constantly remember this. I mean, every time we get two people to vote for, they both do all their blah 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 blah, and we find out both of them were lying later, but we believe them. Seems like almost every time. I have to admit, Obama got me, but that was the last one. Now, with Trump, I'm really cautious of everything he says. The best thing about Trump is he doesn't think before he talks. So you sort of get the truth, even if it's awkward, ugly, stupid, whatever. At least you know what it is, more or less. And I think there's deeper elements to this. So what I'd really like to get into is the deeper elements of our reality, because I've noticed something. When I'm talking to people about anything from the Kennedy assassination to the coronavirus to, doesn't matter, I notice that their level of understanding is based upon, one, an open mind, but not too open mind, having some discernment, getting the correct information, but understanding the underlying foundation of our reality. And by that, I simply mean this, because this is going to help any of you who aren't familiar with this. It'll help a lot to understand what's going on in the world today. Most scientists, like I've mentioned before, most scientists agree that we live in a holographic projection of consciousness. Okay. Now, the reason for that is because all of the data, the equations, so much, that explains our reality closer than anything else. I mean, even the two-dimensional flat Earth people have to recognize that, oh, okay, maybe on some level, it is a two-dimensional plane, but that two-dimensional plane is used in a holographic projection to broadcast it out into three dimensions. So it might be a flat Earth in some limited kind of a point of view, but knowing how a holographic projection works can really, really help. Now, since it is a holographic reality that we live in, and how we see all of everything that's out there, I remember talking to Fred Allen Wolf one time, when he told me that there's no out there, it really stopped my mind. How can there be no out there? I can point out there, I hear things out there, but that's not how we see and feel and sense our reality. We have five senses. If I taste something salty, it's not my tongue that says, hey, this is really salty. No, it's little electronic little impulses that are sent to my brain. My brain decodes it in such a way and builds that part of the reality. I look out and I see a flower. Well, the flower is coming back to me in radiations of light waves. Somebody talks to me, it's reverberations through space, hits my eardrums and reverbs and turns into digital little encoded bits of information that my mind decodes and makes this reality. Now, a lot of you know this, so I'm not going to go to it any deeper than that. Holographic Universe by Talbot is a really good book to start with that. Here's the thing. You have to understand this, because there are powerful, 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 and I'm going to just say it, because here's what's happening with me right now. I usually hold back because, well, you know, I want people to believe some of the information I have enough to go out and check it out for themselves. Truth being told, if I told you everything, which I'm getting close to maybe doing, because there comes a time when you either have to step up, speak out and take action, or shut up and lay down and take whatever comes your way. I am just not a lay down person. And the time has come where we all have to speak out, regardless of the consequences. Regardless. One of the things that's happening right now are people aren't quite understanding what's going on in the world, not only with the coronavirus, but with governments, with 5G, with chemtrails, with everything, all of the toxic poisons that's being forced into our lungs, our food, water, air, everything. I mean, my God, you know, they've been putting fluoride in our water for decades. I remember when I was a little kid in the 50s, they were talking about how it was going to make my teeth nice and clean, and but that's not true. It's rat poison. Just go to the store and read the label. Yeah, you wonder how these people can do this, but let's get way past that. It's easy for them to do things like this. My point here is if we understand that this is a holographic projection of consciousness and how our mind decodes reality depends upon what has been fed into us, indoctrinated to our schools, our priests, our preachers, our parents, and well-meaning adults in academia, and sometimes not well-meaning. That's how we decode our reality. Now, the people on the top of this pyramid, I mean, I'm talking way above corporations, way above government, way above the Illuminati, way above all the conspiracy organizations, way above the Council on Foreign Relations, way above the banks and the international banking settlements people, way above that, to the families that we sort of hear about, some of them, you know, the Rothschilds and the Morgans and the Bushes. But on top of them, there are people that we never hear about. Now, these people, they know about the foundation of our reality being holographic in nature. That's why they wanted to, and they have, taken over almost all of the media. All of the media is being controlled by these corporations, and we all know this. But I'm going to take you a little bit of a step higher than those families. Those families are directly connected with something, I guess you would have to call them intradimensional beings that do not have our best interest at heart. I mean, I remember watching Credo Mukwa. He's a Zulu shaman, and he's talking about these forces down in the ground that he was actually captured when he's about 10 years old. I won't even go into what they did to him. We can talk about the Islam religion and the jinns. We can talk about the Gnostics when they start talking about the archons. The Aborigines, they have words for it too, the Native Americans. And I could go on and on and on back to Vedic literature, and the Bible talks about the fallen angels and the Nephilim. And there are beings that are interdimensional that have a direct influence on our lives through these intermediary sources, these higher up elites. Which I wonder if they're even half human, but definitely hybrids of some kind, because they're in charge and doing things to human beings that I guarantee you and I would never, ever, ever come into our minds to do things like to children and stuff. This is why right now it's important to understand that we're starting to dissect and disassemble their decoding devices called the media, called schools, called Hollywood, and all the films that comes out. Think about it. Lady Gaga, look at what she was singing and how she was doing before she became super famous. All of a sudden, she's giving the little eye thing and, you know, Satan worshiping and all kinds of weird stuff. And this goes true with almost all of them, Britney Spears, everybody. They have to buy into this. Once they buy into it and are compromised, the things that they have to do to get compromised would be another whole show. But it's very important to have this information when you're trying to figure this out, because everything is being guided right now. I remember William Cooper, he wrote a book called Enter the Pale Horse or something like that. It's become a cult classic. And he said, in the years to come, people will say that you must have been a prophet. He says, I'm not a prophet. I've seen their playbook. It's an agenda. We can read this. David Icke says the same thing. Back in the early 90s, things he was talking about are happening now. He directly predicted 9/11, I mean, within a year. And the reason he can do that isn't because he's some super psychic or, you know, wears some kind of a turban or sits around meditating. He has seen the paperwork. He's put his information together. The research is there if you care to do it. People that believe in UFOs and say, no, I know they're UFOs because I've seen the data. I've seen it. I've listened to what the government is telling me, because they're being forced to, the Freedom of the Release of Information Act and all that. This is so, I am so emotional sometimes when I talk about this stuff that my mind bypasses my words sometimes. So I should slow down a little bit and just go into this, because I think it's all on the line right now. I think whether they're self-fulfilling prophecies or not, I think the apocalypse, the end of times as we know it, is here. And all I can say is thank God, because we are devastating this planet. We're destroying it. We're toxifying our bodies to the point that it's become ridiculous. You know, we're dying of diseases that never existed before. And everybody, one out of three people are dying from heart disease and cancer. These are man-made diseases for the most part, due to toxins and lethargy and just sitting around on our couches with our iPhones and wondering why the world's treating us so bad. We need to get up off the couches right now. Maybe not right this second, because, you know, a lot of you are locked up at home, which I think is a shame, because it's time to start getting out right now. But we need to get going, because this is going to require a collective effort. I used to watch a lot of YouTubes of London Real, LondonReal.tv, Brian Rose. Okay, I'm going to actually tell you to go to his website and watch his interview with David Icke. When he did that interview with David Icke, they immediately deplatformed him. Vimeo, YouTube, LinkedIn, Snapchat. Some of them I've never even heard of. Excuse me. They deplatformed him. Now, he can't even come on YouTube like I am right now and say, hey, folks, I did a really great interview with David Icke. It was taken off of YouTube, but you can come to LondonReal.tv and watch it. He can't even do that. He has been gagged down to the point to where they would take it to the next level. And I feel it's necessary to help people like this out, because he's putting it all on the line. And actually, I'm putting it all on the line too. They might deplatform me for saying the very thing that they told him not to say. But they can't deplatform everybody. And if they do, I'll just take it to another realm. Matter of fact, I think Brian Rose on LondonReal.tv, I think he's starting his own little area. Like Alex Jones has banned.video. For all the videos that they banned, you can go to banned.video. And you can not only watch these videos, you can download them, use them however you want to. Matter of fact, I'm going to use a couple in this podcast. It's really becoming crucial that we start paying attention, because, like it or not, believe it or not, I really think that the ancients, scriptures, a lot in the Vedic literature, any kind of indigenous or ancient people with a written or a verbal past have all talked about the same thing. We're being controlled, manipulated by something invisible within our spectrum, because see, we're in a holographic universe. If we're not dialed into that spectrum, we have this tiny little fuzzy little light band that we see right here. We've created technology where we can reach out a little bit to the infrared, a little bit out to the ultraviolet, and get a little bit more of the spectrum in. But there are whole realities in this space right here. Right here. In this space, there's whole realities of beings. And they have been interfering with our world since the very beginning of time. The Christians talk about demonic forces. And Every religion, every ancient people, they all talk about this. So don't think for a moment that we're living in a time when these beings just sort of gave up and went home. No, they have taken control of our media and our government and elite families and working through all these secret societies and all of the organizations, the Bilderbergs, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral. These are all pivotal little tentacles out into our reality that makes decisions for us. So I want you to listen to something right now. I'm going to play a little something, and then we'll come back to it.
They, through their money, which is massive, actually determine the curriculum in a medical school.
It's weakened immune systems, their profit margin. How does Big Pharma get its money? By the population being sick.
It's advertised every 10 minutes on television. There's a new drug or a drug, and it's put into their heads like, your life's not working right. This drug, look at the happy people. See, they've taken the drug and how happy they are. Pharmaceutical drugs kill about 300,000 people a year.
Look at the pharmaceutical cartel, Big Pharma. The third biggest cause of death in the United States is the frickin' treatment. Look at all the crap in food that is legally allowed, never should be, and all these other things. Look at the pharmaceutical cartel, Big Pharma. The third biggest cause of death in the United States is the frickin' treatment after heart disease and cancer. How does Big Pharma get its money? By the population being sick. And I'll tell you what, Brian, I will take this system seriously. I will think, oh, well, maybe they do care a little bit. When they come out, mainstream everything, mainstream medicine, and say, here is how you boost and strengthen your immune system. Vitamin A, vitamin D3, vitamin C, something to boost the thyroid function, which produces vitamin A. Let's get the immune system going. What are they saying instead? Oh, weakened immune systems, that why people are dying. Okay, so what are you telling them about how to boost their immune system? Well, they're not. Because first of all, even on a purely financial level, in terms of Big Pharma, what would a strong immune system in the population in general do? Their profits would absolutely frickin' plummet. Because it's weakened immune systems, their profit margin. Some doctors who actually have sussed it are pointing out, you know, that it's not the virus that's killing people. It's their immune system is killing them.
Every time a scientist has come up with a new idea, that scientist was always claimed as being weird or crazy or, you know, way off track. My research was repeatable every day, and you could predict it. The point about that is, in science, prediction means you understand something. If you can predict it before you do it, then you have some insight. My predictions were always accurate. It just didn't fit the conventional storyline. And it took about 20 years before science owned what I was talking about and gave it the name epigenetics. That's the new science. I'll tell you where the problem comes from. Not so much the scientists, but the pharmaceutical industry. And the reason why this becomes important is because the pharmaceutical industry runs the show in medicine. If you could put this kind of healing that I'm talking about into a capsule or tablet, they'd be talking about it right now. If you understand epigenetics, you don't need the pharmaceutical industry. Mm. And all of a sudden it's like, well, that's not in the interest of the, you know, one of the biggest industries on this planet to say you can heal yourself without drugs. And I go, absolutely. How do they do it is money. Money is big. Money, if I give grants, you can study what I'm going to give you a grant for. So they direct a lot of research with their billions and billions of dollars. And it was actually interesting, the British Journal of Medicine had a review of looking at the same research and determining if the research was funded by government money or the research was funded by private money, like pharmaceutical agency. The results came out 4 to 5 times more in the favor of the private industry when they paid for it, as compared to when it was just government money without any special interest behind it. So right away, there's a manipulation of the data. You go, well, you mean these guys are cheating? I go, well, they're selecting the data to fit. Why? Because if I'm getting a grant, And I write back, I say, sorry, pharmaceutical, I checked all your stuff and it doesn't work. I'm not going to get another grant from
you. So are the doctors lying?
Well, they're not lying, but they pick data that supports their point. So they already have a conclusion before they even did the experiment.
Okay, even in a double-blind study.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a double-blind study.
Okay, because people bring their own preconceptions to any study.
Absolutely.
And maybe even the pharmaceuticals are choosing which things to fund because they know they'll get the results.
Absolutely, and one of the things they're trying to get rid of are people who respond to the placebo effect, because the placebo effect throws the data right off the chart. A simple fact is this, and people might be upset, but drugs like Prozac in laboratory tests are no better than a sugar pill. And that's how many billions of dollars a day on this planet are spent buying Prozac.
Yes.
Or statin drugs. Statin drugs help less than 3% of the people that take them. And in fact, they cause side effects that are dangerous in about 23%. So you help 3% with a drug, 23% are getting toxic from the drug. And the idea is, these are drugs that, how long do you take statins? How long do you plan to live? Pharmaceutical drugs kill about 300,000 people a year. And everybody's, that's just the cost of doing medicine. And yet they have a war on drugs, which kill less than 30,000 people a year. And all of a sudden you got a war because 30,000 people died. 300,000 people die. That's business as usual. My research in stem cells, which was over 40 years ago, I was cloning stem cells, revealed that I could put genetically identical cells in different petri dishes. But if I change the environment, the cells have different fates. So my research revealed the genes didn't control the fate. It was the response to the environment. Well, then I come back just to understand who we are. We look as single individual humans, but we're actually comprised of 50 trillion cells. So essentially, we're skin-covered petri dishes. And the blood in our body is the culture medium. When I change the culture medium in my experiments, I change the fate of the cells. Well, it turns out the blood in our body controls the fate of the cells in our body, but the composition of the blood is controlled by the brain and the mind. So when we perceive love, for example, we release a lot of oxytocin, which stimulate growth, maintenance, and harmony. But in contrast, if I have a fear or a stress, I release cortisol and norepinephrine and histamine. Well, this causes a protection response and shuts down the body and changes the behavior of the cells. How? My mind causes the brain to release the special chemicals, which go into the blood, and the blood's a culture medium and controls the fate. So basically, as you have different thoughts, you release different chemistry, and therefore you have finite control. Through the mind, this is a number that's staggering, you can modify every gene in your body to create 30,000 variations from the same gene blueprint. What we can do every day is to start to recognize that what we perceive in the environment and what we think we see in the environment is actually what controls the genetic activity.
I started becoming fascinated with the idea that you can give someone a sugar pill, a saline injection, or perform some false surgery or treatment, and a certain percentage of those people will accept, believe, and surrender to the thought that they're getting the actual substance or treatment. And they begin to program their autonomic nervous system to make the exact pharmacy of chemicals equal to the substance that they think they're taking. So then it begs the question, is it the inert placebo that's doing the healing, or is it the body's innate capacity to heal by thought alone? Because that pill is a symbol of possibility. All it is a symbol. Or the doctor says, this is a great new drug that's going to help with depression. And the person begins to think about the idea that they could get better. They're selecting a new potential in the quantum field. And then all of a sudden, a certain percentage of those people get enthusiastic and theos, filled with God, inspired, optimistic. They start changing their emotional state. They're combining a clear intention with an elevated emotion, and they're changing their state of being. And all of a sudden now, I began to realize, do you need the sugar pill? Do you need the saline injection? Or can you teach a person, instead of putting their faith and belief in something exogenous outside of them that would do the healing to change their state of being, can they just select the new potential in the quantum field instead of focusing on an unknown, focus on an unknown, and revisit that unknown every single day until it becomes a known? And all of a sudden, you'll see people's depression go away, their anxiety go away, and they're not using the placebo any longer. They're healing by changing their internal states. And so we started seeing those changes taking place before I wrote the placebos. And placebos, just so you know, work any range from working anywhere from 10% to 100%. Imagine that. So in a depression study, as an example, 83% or 81% of the people in a depression study that are given a placebo heal as well as the people that are given the actual antidepressants. Now, there's brain scans to show changes in their brain before and after. It means then they're making their own pharmacy of antidepressants by thought alone. And it took them 6 weeks, 8 weeks of taking that placebo every single day. Now, this is an important point because most people think, oh, I did the exercise or the meditation once and my conditions should go away. Well, even in the depression study, 6 to 8 weeks of taking a placebo, every time they take the placebo, they remind themselves that they're going to get better. They change their emotional state. Sooner or later, that becomes their new state of being. May take people 6 to 8 weeks of doing the work every single day where they start noticing significant changes in their health. So I'm a pragmatist. And if you're telling me something that's science-based, the question that I ask is, how am I going to apply this to my life? So as people begin to gather this information, I now know that every time we learn something new, we're making new connections in our brain. That's what learning is. If people can understand the understanding of the new sciences, quantum physics, neuroscience, neuroendocrinology, psychoneuroimmunology, the mind-body connection, epigenetics, all of those sciences point the finger at possibility. And if I can instruct them in a way that they begin to piece together the model, when I feel like they're at a certain point where the comprehension is right, if they can turn to the person next to them and explain it in the workshop, if they can't explain it, it's not wired in their brain. But if they can explain it, they're beginning to install the neurological hardware in their brain in preparation for an experience. So then if I can set up the conditions in the environment and give them the proper instruction and allow them to surrender enough into the present moment, a certain percentage of those people are going to get their behaviors to match their intentions. And when they do, they're going to experience something new. And the experience then is going to produce an emotion, and they're going to feel unlimited, and they're going to feel whole, they're going to feel invincible. The moment they feel that emotion, now they're teaching their body chemically to understand what their mind is intellectually understood. Now they're embodying the truth of that philosophy by initiating it, which means if you've done it once, be able to do it again. If you can repeat the experience over and over again, you'll begin to neurochemically condition your mind and body to begin to work as one. When you've done something so many times that your body now knows how to do it as well as your mind, now you're mastering that philosophy and now you're in a new state of being. So we have to go from philosopher to initiate to master, from thinking to doing to being.
Yeah, that was Joe Dispenza, Bruce Lipton, and David Icke talking about just one aspect of the control mechanism they have upon us using the pharmaceutical company. And like I say, the pharmaceutical company is just a tool, a manipulative tool to keep us engaged in emotionally and asleep to the matrix that we are so highly embedded into. Actually, there's an article. I've interviewed all of these guys. There's a really good article in this Lotus Guide from Bruce Lipton, if you get a chance to read it. You can read it online too, by the way, www.lotusguide.com. And it's a digital flip magazine if you don't live in the Northern California area. So I think it's important to listen to people like this because what they're saying falls on deaf ears so much. And it's because we've been hypnotically put in this kind of sleep paralysis. Some people call us sheeple. You know, we're just people, but we're sort of like sheep. And we just love to follow. And what does the Bible say? If one of those sheep gets away from the herd, what did they tell the person to do? They say, go out and get that sheep and bring it back to the herd. We're not allowed to wander away from the herd. We never have been. This is considered we're lost. Well, believe me, you're not lost if you get away from the herd. I forget who it was, but somebody once said it's no great accomplishment to be classified as normal in an abnormal society. Yet we all strive. My God, you know, sometimes I get so tired of talking this stuff, and I shouldn't. I mean, I have a podcast. I shouldn't get tired of talking, but that's the reason I need to talk about it in a different way. I'm going to start making my podcast a little different. Instead of talking about things that are going on in the world directly, there's so many people that has really great podcasts. Joe Rogan and all these people just, my God, they have all the technology, all the time, all the money, and all the connections to do a better job than me talking and interviewing some of these people. I still intend on doing that. You know, I love talking with people like Bruce Lipton and Joe Dispenza and Greg Braden. These are like pioneering adventurers that we can really stand upon their shoulders and see further over the horizon of where they're seeing. But I think there's a deeper aspect to all of this that maybe it could be my niche, which is why it's called Spiritual Activist, my channel, because I think there's a spiritual element to everything that's going on right now. And if we don't see that spiritual element, you could call it spiritual or conscious. If we don't see that element, we don't understand what is going on in the world. And all we have to do is have somebody point it out to us. Like, for instance, if I show you a picture, and in that picture, it's just a mess of bushes and trees and grass and jungle. And I say, do you see anything in this picture? You say, no, it's just jungle. I say, no. There is a donkey pulling a cart in that picture. Do you see it now? Sometimes that's all it takes, is to tell people that here's what's happening. And then that donkey and cart pops out. Sometimes you have to actually point it out. But after the person actually sees that, every time they see that picture, it pops out. And this is what happens when you're watching the jungle of chaos and white noise of the fake news and media. You can see the truth because it pops out. Once you see what's going on, it just pops out. You go, I know what they're actually talking about. And I know why they're not telling me about this story. And sometimes that's the best story, the story behind the story. But I think if I make my podcast more about the spiritual element behind these things and ways to interpret and decode the information from a higher level of consciousness, I think maybe that might be my little niche that would make more sense to me and more sense to the people listening. And that way I can guide you to other people that are doing a really great job. I mean, Alex Jones, oh my God, I always think he's going to have a heart attack, but he can get on a roll sometimes. I mean, and he starts pulling in this information, and you have to respect anybody that every day puts it all on the line and really fervently believes and has all that passion about what he's doing. I mean, you have to listen to some of the things he says. It's hard to listen to the guy, though. I wish there's some way you could get his voice in a decoder and make it a little more mellow, but you can't. It is what it is. David Icke, he's a trip. You know, my wife and I had dinner with him a few years ago, and I remember asking him, David, when I'm doing my research, what should I really keep in mind? He says, easy. First thing to keep in mind is nothing is what it appears to be. Nothing. Nothing that you've ever been told is what it is, and start from there. And once in a while, you can get one little thing that somebody might have told you that ended up being the truth, but usually not. You know, the kind of world we live in is not like that. So I hope you like that last little thing. So I'm gonna play something else right now, and then we'll talk about it.
The efficacy of vaccines in older people is always a huge challenge. You know, it turns out the flu vaccine isn't that effective in elderly people. We clearly need a vaccine that works in the upper age range because they're most at risk of that. And doing that so that you amp it up so it works in older people and yet you don't have side effects. You know, if we have, you know, 1 in 10,000 side effects, that's, you know, way more, 700,000, you know, people who will suffer from that. And that actual decision of, okay, let's go and give this vaccine to the entire world, governments will have to be involved because there will be some risk and indemnification needed. Well, again, I'm not as deep an expert on that as I am on vaccines.
Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them.
We want to thank you for turning folks in and making sure we are all safe.
For the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
Okay, that was Bill Gates, if you did recognize his voice. What the hell is he talking about? I know my dad. I watched my dad for like 28 years because he had a couple of brain aneurysms. He had tuberculosis from being in the Navy. And, you know, that's another story. The veterans gave him the wrong medication and actually killed him. You know, believe it or not, that's the truth. But my dad was getting a flu shot every year. Every year he'd get the flu. So finally I said, you know what, Dad, let's not give you the flu shot this year and see what happens. Well, 15 years went by and he never caught the flu again. So I'm telling you, these vaccinations, there's something to it. It's proven fact that there's nanoparticles in the vaccinations. I mean, Bill Gates talks about the fact that he's going to be putting a little liquefied kind of a chip in you and they'll be able to tell if you've had the vaccination or not. Places like in Argentina, it's hard to travel there unless you've had all your vaccinations and have the paper to prove it. But people can get false papers and still travel. So they're going to solve that problem real quick. Like, and what's this about? You know, it doesn't work all that well for old people. Didn't they know this like 20 years ago? Of course they did. These people are Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I mean, Dr. Fauci. He sits on the board there, and come to find out, Dr. Fauci was instrumental in working on this particular virus in Georgia, giving the level 4 lab in Wuhan $3 point something million to go ahead and take that up to the next level. And here we are today. I mean, all of this is coming out. I think the virus is real. I think it was released on purpose. I don't think it was an accident. These people aren't morons. I mean, they've talked about vaccinations and viruses. Matter of fact, if I get a chance, I'll play a little thing from Fauci. In 2015, he said, during the next election, Trump, there will be a surprise pandemic. Use the words will and surprise. And it's no surprise that here we are with a worldwide pandemic. But the fact that he said that there will be a pandemic and it will be a surprise surprises me that these people even are so stupid that they let people video this stuff. Don't they know that we have video cameras? And it's a good thing that they're not the smartest people in the pile, because otherwise we wouldn't get this kind of information. So let me play one more thing before we run out of time, and then we'll talk again.
Official sources continue to claim that the jet aircraft trails, which linger, spread, and fill our skies with sun-blocking haze, are just condensation. But that narrative is a lie. Atmospheric particulate testing has now conclusively proven that the jet aircraft dispersed trails and haze in our once deep blue skies is not condensation, as we have been told.
Are absolutely not contrails. Contrails do not linger. dissipate and go into cloud coverage, period, in the report.
I kept saying to people, you know, what is this? Because now the sky is no longer blue, it's starting to turn gray. And what I found was a lot of people were pretending it wasn't happening. It was kind of like it was not socially acceptable to, you know, we're all gonna pretend this is not really happening. And I thought, oh, this is very bad.
Prior history has proven that we have used weather back in the Vietnam conflict. Suddenly, you don't take a weapon off the table that was able to provide good data, provided a good reason for it to be used at that time. Should you expect that it is available on demand to have the ability to modify weather? Absolutely, within this country and others.
Because we're talking about a very expensive global spraying program that involves all, if not almost all, sovereign nations.
We have government documents, Senate documents, patents, military documents. We have film footage of them turning dispersions on and off with nozzles visible. We have lab tests from all over the globe verifying that the exact elements named in climate engineering patents are showing up.
We have collected samples directly from the emissions from aircrafts. We have identified particles in there and have shown nanoparticles of these metal oxides that are damaging to biological tissue and affect human health.
Elements like aluminum, barium, strontium, polymer fibers, all of which are highly toxic, all of which are being absorbed by the entire web of life, including us.
I know enough to know that we're talking about serious risk, and serious risk to your health. Everything I see in terms of the pattern says there's a war going on covertly.
Climate engineering fallout is completely contaminating our waters, our soils, our crops, and every breath we take, thus impacting every aspect of our health. Geoengineering particles are nanoscale. So small, they go straight through our lung lining, into our bloodstream, and adhere to cell receptors like a plaque. Once absorbed, they are almost impossible to expel from our systems.
The layer was filled with these nanomaterials, and that was our first evidence that this is, you know, that these nanomaterials are directly associated with the emissions from these planes.
We're simply asking people to investigate the facts and to stop believing the official denial.
This is an intentional research area with unknown purposes.
We need our military personnel, all branches of the service, we need all of their help. We need the answers to get to the bottom of this national security problem.
Okay, that was, it's going to be a movie called The Dimming. It was put out by a friend of mine, Dane Wigington. I remember he came to my house, oh my God, it's been a few years ago, and we walked around my property and he showed me the trees that were dying and kinds of shrubbery that was dying. And he says, you watch these trees now in the years to come, they're going to start dying. And sure enough, they have. And it's from chemtrails. It's metric tons of poison that they're dumping on us. You know, and again, this is another organization being orchestrated and led by the puppeteers above, that we just get a glimmer of who they are. And the only thing that makes this make any sense, like one of the ladies that was talking in that last clip, Catherine Austin Fitz, she had something to do with the finances and auditing and accounting with our government. And she looked into some of the accounting and she told Congress, she said, at the end of the day, when I look at everything, the only thing that makes any sense whatsoever is that money, basically, I'm paraphrasing now, but it's just sort of disappearing. And she said, the only thing that makes that make any sense is that it's happening by off-planet beings. Can you tell me if she's not trying to tell us something about the secret space program that everyone says doesn't exist, but it does? I mean, it's existed for a long time. I wish sometimes I would do a podcast that just go on for hours, but I think 55 minutes usually is about all any of us can take at a time. But I think from now on, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go down to a little bit deeper level and gain a perspective of spirituality on this. And I will probably use quotes from religious organizations because there are little pearls of wisdom in there. You have to dig to find out anything that makes any sense sometimes. I remember, I think I was 6 or 7 years old. I was kicked out of Sunday school because I went to Sunday school. And the first Sunday, I heard that God created everything. He's well pleased with us and everything is great. You know, everything's fine, you know. So I came the next Sunday and found out that he just tried to drown us all. And I'm a little 6-year-old kid, so I raised my hand and said, hey, did I miss a Sunday or what happened? He was well pleased and now he's trying to kill us all. And they took me out of class. They told my parents I was too young. I've always been questioning their answers. I mean, the first thing I thought of when I heard the Noah story was, how big is this boat? It's got to be a huge, huge boat. Don't anybody, and I was thinking at the time, the adults in my life, don't they ever ask these questions that seem so primary kind of questions, really, when you stop to think about it? It wouldn't even take a high IQ person to figure it out that something is not quite right about this. You know, why should I take my son out and stone him to death if he drinks too much? These are the things that are in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And you can read my book. I should plug my book once in a while. It's called To Believe or Not to Believe, The Social and Neurological Consequences of Belief Systems. And there's interviews in there with Andrew Newberg, a neuroscientist, Bruce Lipton, Greg Braden, Joe Dispenza, Lynn McTaggart. I wanted to know what all of them thought about what happens to our brain if we force our brain to believe something that is unbelievable, unsubstantiated by any kind of facts or reason. What happens neurologically when we do that? Well, come find out there is something that happens. That's the reason when you're talking to a fundamentally extreme religious person or a political person, you sort of have to get right in front of them and use their language. Otherwise, if you're out of that peripheral view that they have, they don't hear you. They can't understand your concepts or words. And I've tried this too. I've told certain things to a religious person, given it a week, maybe 2 weeks, come back and sort of lightly bring up that conversation again. They don't even remember having the conversation at all. Now, I don't remember you telling me that. Well, I did, you know. And time after time after time, I've probably done that 10 times with key people that I've met in life. And sure enough, the neurological consequences is they don't hear you. They look at you and they sort of stare and they go, oh, whoa, okay, yeah, it could be. But it's not plugged in. They're not online, so to speak. So, and Catherine Austin Fitz, she's a trip too, but the dimming is going to be a really good one. Another good one is Out of the Shadows. You can watch that on YouTube. Watch it. I mean, I'm not here to completely educate you. Go out and do your own research. There's a certain exhilaration when you ask a question or if you have an endeavor or inquisitive about something and you get an answer. It triggers dopamine and everything else, but it triggers something in you, a satisfaction, and it plugs that in at a deeper level other than me just telling you. Watch Out of the Shadows. If you watch that, you'll never believe another person on the news ever, ever. So I think podcasts like this, people talking, just normal people. Sasha Stone, he's another good one. You know, Sasha Stone, look him up. I first came in contact with him with the International Tribunal for Natural Justice. And on that tribunal, they were really digging deep into the pedophile rings. And You know, he's a brave soul. He just really goes for it. And he has a really good time articulating what he's talking about. And G. Edward Griffin, he's another good one. Look these people up on YouTube. See what they have to say. David Icke, Joe Dispenza, Greg Braden, Bruce Lipton. And once again, go back to londonreal.tv and watch those videos and hashtag what you're doing with hashtag LondonRealArmy. And let's help this guy out because he's doing a good thing and they're burying the guy. But now I think he's onto something. I think they made a mistake with him. I know they made a mistake with Alex Jones. He's more popular now than he ever was. All these people are getting his YouTubes from band.video and putting them on their YouTube channels. You can buy, you can get Alex Jones videos all over the place now. Not to mention on his Infowars.com. So we really need to use this time wisely because let's face it, we've been on a global sabbatical. And in this global sabbatical, we've all been looking at ourselves, looking at our lives and wondering, you know, what the hell is this really about? Who am I? Do I really want to go back to that little cubicle and sit in front of that computer and do that little menial job and miss out on what I'm noticing right now? My family, my kids, you know, going for walks with my dog, spending time and just taking a deep breath and just relaxing. I mean, do I really want to go back and support that kind of civilization now? We're learning also that the supply chains can't be global. They simply cannot be global, not to mention the hydrocarbons and that aspect of it. But we can't be dependent on countries that could become our enemies, like China right now makes most of our pharmaceuticals. What are we thinking about? It's so bizarre. Actually, we're not thinking, but there are people that are thinking, and they're trying to bury the United States. So, I mean, like Trump or hate Trump, put that aside. But it is time to really make America great. Not again, but just great. Like, let's do something different with this country that was founded on some really amazing principles. Every once in a while, I'll read the Constitution. I tell you, if you don't think that was inspired, something's wrong with you. It was truly inspired. And this is like the grand experiment. And we're sort of getting a C+ right now, but I think we can move that right on up, you know? And we can't just open up our borders like some people say. I mean, that's not fair to the people that go through all the paperwork to come here is through the immigration channels. But at the same time, the people that are here, we need to take care of them too. We need to watch out because they are doing jobs that, you know, we don't want to do. And they seem fine with doing it, and that's good. You know, everybody has their little niche in life. But we can't forget that either. You know, it's really important. So I think maybe that's all for today. And I'll be back with you every other week at the same time on bbsradio.com/spiritualactivist. And if you want to know more about who I am, what I do, go to lotusguide.com. You can email me at Rahasia, R-A-H-A-S-Y-A, Rahasia@USA.com. And let's wake up, you know, let's use this and let's get out. You know, I do have a mask that I wear. It's sort of cool looking. And I feel a little foolish, but out of social respect, and I don't like people looking at me like I'm a mass murderer or something. So I do put the on when I go into a market, although today I didn't. I think it's subsiding now with the heat and everything. But bless all of you. Love you all. And thanks for sharing what I know is valuable time listening and watching my podcast. Thank you very much.